The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 30, Thanksgiving for Recovery from Great Illness, a song at the dedication of the temple of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The next scripture reading is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 16. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11, the mission of the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. You know this, the kingdom of God has come near. This is the good news.
Thank you, God.
Be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A preschool teacher found an exciting new thing to do with her class, with her students. She wrote a song about popcorn and taught it to the children. Then she had all of the little children crouch down on the floor, and at the appropriate point in time in the song, they would all write, "Pop up." She had them popping up all over the room, singing her new popcorn song. Well, however, one little boy named Greg, I have a son named Greg, and I can see him doing this, remained crouched down on the floor. He just wouldn't pop up. The teacher finally asked Greg what was wrong. "Why don't you pop up like the other children?" And Greg replied, "I'm stuck on the bottom of the pan." I've had days like that. I'm sure you have. Haven't we all had days like that? Times when we need to get popping, but we feel stuck at the bottom of the pan. In this, our act of community worship, God has gathered you and me, gathered us together to experience the immediacy of his presence. This means for us drawing closer to God as a church and as a people. And this is our great gift from the Lord Jesus. Because we are Jesus' followers, we can enter into deeper and deep communion with God in this unique, life-enriching way. But this gathering together is not the total experience. There's a second part to it, without which the first part loses its meaning. For this same God who gathers us together to experience his presence, scatters us, sends us into the world to witness to his love. The same God who reveals himself to us here, reveals himself to the world in and through us. The same God who makes it possible for us to breathe in the Holy Spirit of God requires us to breathe that same Spirit out. If we only breathe in and never breathe out, in this sense, the Holy Spirit has no real meaning in our lives. Spiritually, our lives are on hold, or maybe stuck to the pan. In terms of moving ever closer to God and Jesus, we need to get unstuck from the bottom of the pan, as I just mentioned. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus instructs 72 disciples who have been experiencing the immediacy of his presence to go out into the world proclaiming this good news of his saving, loving presence to others. The New Testament Christians whom Jesus sent out two by two understood that it was of the utmost importance to their mission that they literally named the name of Jesus. And that's where you and I, we tend to back off. The quality of the Spirit in which we go out into the world is the secret of making it possible for us to name the name of Jesus before others. From the famous musical South Pacific, it's one of my favorites, you may remember the scene where the governor reports for duty as the military leader of the little island, saying, "I'm going to teach these natives democracy if I have to kill every one of them." That, to some degree, has been the spirit in Christian witness in many places. What we are talking about here is an evangelical spreading out of the love of Jesus, the love that flows out to people like some great wave of compassion. Because he loves them so much, we feel the love flowing through us, And we realize that what we have to give in our families and neighborhoods and places of work is the most priceless gift available to humanity. Because we do this, my friends, out of love, there's no room in our evangelistic spirit for arrogance or manipulation or self-righteousness. Along with this spirit of love goes the spirit of enthusiasm and joy. It's one of my favorite words. You know that. That word means in God, enthus. In naming the name of Jesus, we should be giving a sign that God's love is in us and is making a difference in our lives. The New Testament Christians were so filled with enthusiasm and joy over the difference it made in their lives that they literally could not contain it within themselves. Whenever, wherever they went, and whenever they went, the joy spilled over and people suddenly paid attention. Anyone who has ever done parasailing, anybody here ever do that? Raise your hand. Wow, Lisa Williams. Good for you. Well, I'm told that it is a most exciting, exhilarating experience. A middle-aged man who had whipped up the courage to try it had this to say about what it was like. I had read many accounts of what it was like, he wrote. Many times I had listened to persons describe in detail their parasailing adventures. But it was not until I stepped onto the circle of the launching pad from which I would go soaring into the air, attached to a powerboat by a 175-foot cable, that the experience became real and alive to me. It turned out to be the thrill of a lifetime that began once I stepped into that circle. Well, the theological circle is a term introduced many years ago by a famous 20th century theologian. He drew a circle around the Christian faith experience of being really and truly at one with Christ. And he made the point that we talk about it, we sing about it, we write about it, we read about it, but until we have opened up our hearts and minds to it and stepped into that circle, we'll never really actually experience it. As with his 72 disciples in today's gospel, Jesus is inviting you and me to step into the circle and to experience a real life oneness with him that cannot be contained. Jesus is inviting us to step into the circle of our spiritual launching pad, of our ministries, and proclaiming his good news of a loving, gracious, merciful God who wants us and all for his own. In a Peanuts comic strip, I love those as well, Linus and Charlie Brown and Lucy are laying on their backs, looking up at the clouds. And Lucy is saying, if you really have an imagination, you know, you can see things in the clouds. What do you see, Linus? And he says, well, I see a map of Honduras in Central America over here. And over there is a portrait of the famous sculptor, Thomas Eakins. And over here is the stoning of Stephen. I can even see the Apostle Paul standing to the side. Lucy then says, that's very good, Linus. And what do you see, Charlie Brown? And Charlie says, well, I was going to say I see a doggy and a horsey. But I changed my mind. Whether you are a person who can see wondrous scenes when you look up at the clouds, or whether you're more like Charlie Brown, we can journey down into that deepest level of our being, where we can see and experience and understand what it means to be in the circle of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the disciples in today's lesson, you and I, in obedience to Christ's command, can go forth, can be sent, proclaiming the name of Jesus, and in his name demonstrate God's immense love for all of his children. In and through your life of loving service to all others, like Jesus's 72 disciples, you and I, we will rejoice in this experience of having called others into that circle of God's love. Like Jesus' 72 disciples, we are sent into the world as reconcilers, as healers, as caregivers, as peacemakers, as harbingers of hope in the resurrection power of God to make all things new eternally. So I ask, will you step into that circle? Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for drawing the circle of eternity before us and for your invitation to step into that circle that offers for us in Christ real life, a life of joy and security, peace, wholeness, and love. Bless us this day and in this coming week. Let all the people say, amen.
Amen.